Please enjoy our Sunday, October 9th Sunday service with a message from Pastor Raph and music from Sylvia and the worship team. God bless.
I just want to draw your attention this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, and I just want to read a few verses before we pray. How many are visiting with us this morning? Can I see your hand? Okay, let's welcome all our visitors. They just found out this is the best place in the world to live. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Amen. Give thanks in all circumstances. Amen. That's not easy to do. We give thanks because we know God always has a plan in the midst of any situation that we would find ourselves in. There's always a purpose. You know, when someone says to me, Pastor Ripley, good luck, I say, you know what, I don't believe in luck. I believe in the providence of God and the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Oh, I like that. Through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the breath that You've put in our lungs this morning. And that breath in our lungs this morning is to praise You and to glorify You and to magnify You. And Lord, this morning we're not going to let the rocks cry out. No, we are the ones that are going to praise You and magnify You and exalt You above all, O Lord. So Father, we just pray as we begin to praise You this morning, let there be a mighty release of Your anointing in this place. Father, let there be a breaking of the heavy yokes in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. God bless you this morning.
He has made me glad. I will rejoice for you. There is no other king but you, Jesus. Kingdoms rise and fall, but Lord, you are eternal. You are eternal. You are the first and the last. You're the beginning and the end. And God, through it all, you hold us. You never forsake us, oh God. We're the only ones who forsake you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, where we turn our hearts against you. Lord, we repent and we come back to you, Jesus, because you're the only one worth serving. You're the only one worth worshiping, God. Everything else is just wood, hay, and stubble. It's worth nothing. But you, Jesus, are the King.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving. Same to me. All right. We're off to a good start here. You know, it's a good thing to be thankful. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about our time in Israel. And as a matter of fact, right now in Israel, they're celebrating a feast. Does anyone know what feast that is? That's right. And it coincides with Thanksgiving. And in Israel, well, the children of Israel, sorry, I'm just looking for something I need here. The children of Israel were given commands by God in order to remember his faithfulness, okay? So there are seven feasts. There are three in the fall and there are four in the spring. And we know some of them, right? So we said tabernacles, so that's Sukkot, okay? And what that is to remind God's people that God was with them when they traveled through the desert. Amen. They weren't alone. God was with them. And you know what? He guided them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar by fire. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He was with them. His manifest presence was with them and he guided them. So this is a way to remember this feast. Embedded in the feast are things to make the people remind them or be reminded that God was with them. Previously, there was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in Israel is a day of fasting, and is to be remind the people that God is our atonement. Before that, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, and that is to remind the people that sometimes the shofar is blown. It's a reminder to repent. That sound reminds the people that they need to repent. They need to be ready, because what they don't realize, maybe, the Jewish people, he's coming back. Amen. In the spring, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's to signify how the people only ate unleavened bread during the Passover, which was the next one, Passover, Pesach. And that is a picture of God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Right? The blood of the lamb was put on the doorposts. And they had to be, whoever, Israelite, non-Israelite, had to be within that house that had the blood protection. Amen. Okay? After that, you have Yom HaBikurim. Okay, I wonder what that is. It's actually the Feast of First Fruits. And that is a celebration of the barley harvest. But actually what it is for us, for Christians, for believers in Jesus, is the resurrection. The first fruits of those who slept, Paul said. Right? Jesus is that. And then finally, you have Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. And that is when what symbolizes in Israel is the giving of the law, where God's appearance came by fire, by lightnings, by shakings. And in the church, the Holy Spirit fell down. Tongues of fire. If fire was to fall on me, I'd look like a candle. Burning up. So why am I going through all these things? Because God's people, whether you're old covenant people or new covenant people like us, we need reminders. We need reminders of what God has done in our lives.
Yeah, for them.
Thankfulness in the New Testament appears 71 times. So I'm not sure how many times it appears in the Old Testament, but you can bet it's a lot. God loves thankful people. And actually, God's people always get into trouble when they're not thankful. Right? Because if you're not thankful, you're grumbling. Who grumbles? Come on. There's more. so just people of God know that when I'm speaking this word, I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. Because I've been convicted that I'm not sure that I've been doing worship so well. The title of my message today is Doing Worship Well. Am I boring you already? It just started. Well, Thanksgiving. Does anybody know what Canadian Thanksgiving is built around? Don't tell me the American story.
Yeah.
Nobody here knows, I bet you. Well, we kind of adopt the American story, but it's not our story. The story that we actually celebrate, believe it or not, historically, is, has anyone heard of Sir Martin Frobisher? Okay, he was an English explorer, okay? And he went out by ship, and he actually landed in what we know today as Nunavut. Wow. Okay, around Baffin Island area. And you know what? It was a treacherous journey for those sailors. And when they got there, the first thing they did was they gave thanks to God. They gave thanks to God for keeping them safe, for rescuing them during their treacherous journey. And you know what they celebrated with? Salted beef and mushy peas. But you know what? They were thankful.
That's it, right there.
Right? They were thankful.
Yeah.
And it was giving glory to God. You know, actually, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but when you are thankful, giving thanks is actually giving praise. Okay? It goes together. Okay? So the American tradition is the Pilgrims' first harvest in Massachusetts in 1621 and was an expression of thanks, gratitude, and relief for having survived in the arrival of North America. These were Europeans, right? Away from the tyranny that they were experiencing in Europe, right? And for the harvest. Okay, listen. So we know in this day and age that story is challenged. Okay? And there's some horrible things that happen. But you know, in its core, and what actually Americans, especially believers in the United States, celebrate, is thankfulness to God.
Right, yeah.
And what is the thing that we've been given, that as believers, that we need to be thankful for every day? Let's hear it. Our salvation. Right?
Yeah.
So this is something that, when we come to this holiday of Thanksgiving, our minds need to remember that. We have to come to this place of Thanksgiving. So there's an American Thanksgiving right there. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That's what I remember seeing growing up. I was just like, yeah, I wish I could have Thanksgiving in the United States. It's so much better. But see, Americans love it. You know, and they love it. They do it really well. You know? But see, it's not about turkey. I mean, that's all a blessing. You know, it's great to be thankful for our food. It's great to be thankful for what God provides. But it's so much more than that. Amen?
Amen?
So let's go to our scripture text for today. And that's Psalm 100. And let's read it together. Make a loud shout to Yahweh, all the earth. Is that just Christians? Is that just the Israelites? No, it's all the earth.
Yeah.
Everyone. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that Yahweh, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for Yahweh is good.
Amen.
His loving kindness endures forever, and His faithfulness generation to generation. Hallelujah. The context of this psalm was the Israelites approaching the temple and they were shouting. That was the first verse. They were shouting out loud, okay? And what you would have seen is the Israelites approaching for worship, okay? And maybe there were some Gentile converts with them as well. So they approach the temple, and they're being invited to enter in, okay? Now, their worship was loud, okay? And the thing was, as God is telling them to be loud, not to be chaotic, not to be crazy, but to be loud. You know why? Because it's speaking of his goodness around. So those people around that don't know Yahweh, maybe they say, hey, what's going on? Maybe we should check into this. You know, maybe they're singing songs of their deliverance. Telling stories of how God rescued them from Egypt. Telling stories about how God took them from Babylon, the captivity, remember? And you know what? Hey, there's a similarity here. Because we were captive too. Israel had a story to tell, and you and I have a story to tell as well.
Amen.
And it can be told in our worship. That's the starting place. Loud worship. Hey, if you are an introvert, that's okay. But your life needs to be loud. Your life needs to proclaim the message that you were once a captive and now you're set free. Psalm 32:7, it's not on the PowerPoint. So you are my hiding place. You keep me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. God is a God who delivers. And this shouting, this worship that we're being summoned to, okay, or that the Israelites were being summoned to, and we're being reminded of, is exuberant. It's not like, great is thy faithfulness. No. You're in the presence of Almighty God. What did He do for you? He set you free. And if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, pay attention. Pay attention. Because He's calling you. Do you remember David? We just sang about David, right? I love what he did. Unashamed worship before the Lord. So this is not on the PowerPoint either. This is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. And so it happened that when they were carrying the ark of Yahweh, gone six paces, and he'd sacrifice an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing. What's that? It's a signal. Something's going on. Was dancing with all his strength. This guy was really dancing. David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of Yahweh with shouting and sound of the trumpet. Linda, do you want to come up over there again? It's a little impromptu dancing going to happen here. Would you like to dance too?
We stand together, we're going to sing again. Overhead, for us, by the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, on my heart, I will dance like David danced. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will
at. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's our house band. One of them. But see, it's not chaos. Amen. Worship in God's house is orderly. In 1 Corinthians 14:40 it says, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. No one was swinging from the chandeliers. Not appropriate in the church, right? Because God is not the author of chaos, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So when we talk about shouting and exuberant, vibrant worship, we're not talking about chaos, okay? Just as a caveat that I needed to say. Verse 2, serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. See, the interesting thing about the word serve is that it's the same word for your worship. It's the same word. It's used interchangeably. In an article I read by a fellow by the name of Jeremy Buma, it was on the Zondervan webpage, which is a publisher of Christian books and Bibles. He said this, the term here is used, abad, the combination of worship and service. As they explain, every act of worship, hear this now, is an act of service. And every act of service done for the Lord is an act of worship. There can be no separation of public worship practice from private character and worldview. There's no separation. We like to separate. It's like, oh, I have this work to do. It's my work. I'm going to do it over here. You know, yeah, I'm going to fix this. And you know, God's not in that. It's my work. Is it? Because you remember in the desert, or before in the desert, prior to that, when Moses went before Pharaoh, and what was he supposed to say? Let my people go so they can worship, but also serve me, right? So once they did get set free, they served him. That relationship that God was leading them and teaching them all about was how to worship Him. Right? It wasn't just singing. It wasn't just lifting up their hands. It was building. It was putting the tabernacle together according to His plan. Right? It was work. So when we do it, when we serve, how are we doing that? Are we doing it with gladness and joy? How are people seeing us? Because what I'm trying to say here is worship is not just this, dancing around and praising the Lord. It's certainly that. But it's more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's day to day to day. You know, thank God for Thanksgiving because we're reminded when our worship has become about us or about something else or our service. You know what? You're serving God when you're providing food for your family. Who gave you your job? Who gave you the skills to be able to perform that job? God did. You belong to Him and He made you. So, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. I take ownership of the things I do sometimes. And when you do that, it's miserable. Absolutely. I'm miserable. You know, I saw something take place a couple times. I've probably seen it more. But the two situations where I remember, I'm going to embarrass a couple of people. One of them is Gary. You know, I watched Gary do some service to help somebody. Well, yeah, some. Yeah, one particular situation. Where things were kind of not going well. And he had loaded a truck just beautifully. If you want to see a work of art, you got to see Gary load a truck. Yeah, he's amazing. I'm thankful for Gary. He loaded this truck, and then we realized that something that the person needed was loaded in the truck somewhere. And you know, he had to take his work apart piece by piece. And Gary was working up a sweat. But you know what? There was no frustration. There was joy. I mean, he was working as fast as he could because this needed to happen. There was joy in his heart. He wasn't laughing, but there was a peace. You know what I'm talking about? And another time I can say where I saw some people that were serving, and there was a lot of stuff that had to come together, and that was just the garage sale we had. There were many people involved in that, and they were all full of peace in the midst of a chaotic scene. That is God. That is the way we worship. That's the way we display Him in our lives, and we give Him glory and honor. Colossians, it's not up there, 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Giving thanks. Amen. To God the Father through Him. Talking about this idea of songs and singing. When you come before the Lord in His house, or when you're worshiping in your home, do you have a song in your heart? You know, Sylvia is always singing. And you know, when we were first married, I was just like, boy, you know, I used to say, can't you just stop singing? And all of a sudden, like, lightning strikes. And whoops, shouldn't have done that. No, it's true, though. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, not all of us have that gift, and that's okay. But sing in your hearts. It's for the Lord. Okay, that's what He says. It says here in Ephesians, Paul said in Ephesians 5:19-20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always, what? Here it goes again. Giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You see, there's a progression in that. When you have this melody in your heart, your focus is on Him. Right? The right things happen. Right? Not on yourself, not on other things, on Him. Glory to God. Verse 3, know that Yahweh, He is God. It is He who made us, not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know that He is God. Psalm 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Another way to say that, which we know probably better, be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you were still? And knew. How did you come to know God? How did you come to know God? Was it through His creation? Looked out there and you saw the beauty of His handiwork and somehow connected God. There's a God. This is not just chance. Romans. Romans 1:20 says, since creation of the world, His invisible attributes, both His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what He has made. So they are without excuse. God testifies of Himself. He reveals Himself in His creation. Right? And you know, when we appreciate the beauty of His creation, just maybe someone will hear us and say, hey, yeah. Yeah, this is beyond chance. Yeah. Maybe you're confronted with the gospel. And that's how you got saved. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:1 to 4 says, now I make it known to you, brothers, the gospel which I proclaimed as the good news, which also you received, also you stand. Verse 2, which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I proclaimed to you as the good news, unless you believe for nothing. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Maybe you had to come to grips with that, and somehow that gripped your heart. Amen. Penetrated your heart. Or maybe you met somebody that drew you. And you could not explain why. There was something about that person that spoke to you. There was something that you had to know more about what was up with that person. That was actually what happened to me. And the person that I was drawn to was about 6'4", no, he wasn't that tall, 6'3", big African-Canadian guy that looked pretty mean, but was as peaceful as a dove. It's like, hey, that doesn't make sense to me. Why does that guy have peace? And he was quiet. So his voice was quiet. He didn't shout. But his actions and his lifestyle spoke loud and clear. He was a worshiper of Jesus Christ. And that drew me. So this is something that maybe you're a quiet person. But speak loudly in how you live. Demonstrate that you are a worshiper. And people will respond. Matthew chapter 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Listen, now more than ever. Now more than ever. If you're hiding your light, repent. People need to see that light. Now more than ever. Amen? Too much is going on. Too much is at stake. People need to see that you're a worshiper. People need to see and hear your life shouting at them. There's something about me that you need to know about.
Amen. That's right.
And whether it's through words by sharing the gospel, or whether it's pointing out to nature, or whether it's... That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
God is calling you. God is beckoning you. We are the sheep We are his people and we are the sheep of his pasture. People don't like being called a sheep. They don't. But in this context, it's absolutely right. It's coming, Russ. It's coming. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. John 10:27. Hey, it's true. If the Lord has put in someone's heart to say this verse, there's a reason for it. We need to hear it.
Amen.
Because we're being told being a sheep is ridiculous. You know, think for yourself. Yes, we do need to think for ourselves. We need to think with the mind that God gave us and we need to hear his voice. Amen?
Amen.
We need to follow after him. He made us, not we ourselves. He ransomed us. Just like Israel was set free from Egypt.
Right.
Babylon. We were freed from our captivity. Amen. The Good Shepherd. Ezekiel 34:11-12. It's not on the PowerPoint. For the Lord God says, I myself will look after my sheep. Look for my sheep. For them as a shepherd looks for their sheep. When they are not together. I will look for my sheep and I will save them from all the places where they spread out. On a day of clouds and darkness. Sheep get lost. Think about people you know that were following the Lord that are lost now. That are have been driven away by bad weather. Figuratively. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he goes after them. And he brings them back to himself. Isaiah 40:11, no slide. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. He is the good shepherd. He's the one who leads us through. He's the one that brings us to a place of good pasture. And he's inviting others. Going back to verse 1. All the earth. See, that promise was for everyone. And it was prophetic. Because again, it was Israel that was the chosen people. But eventually, the gospel went to the Gentiles as well. This is a call to everyone.
Yeah.
To be a worshiper of Yahweh.
Right.
To come to his pasture and feed. To come to the quiet waters and drink. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Here we go. Thanksgiving. Isn't that a beautiful picture? This is what awaits the people of God. Not exactly like that, but right? We're going to be coming to be with the Lord. And God is calling for others to join us. You know, one of the most profound times I had of worshiping God loudly was again in Israel, but it was in Jerusalem, but it was with 3,000 Chinese believers. You know, it was like, they were like, you know, they're singing these songs, and I'm just going, yeah, praise the Lord. And it was so amazing. You know, and I was just like, oh wow, I wish my family was here. I could see my family. You know, and it's like, it's a foretaste of what's to come in heaven. You want to read Revelation? Yeah, there's some strange things that go on there. Prophecy, scary things. But it's also about worship.
Amen. Right.
Amazing. We have such a glorious future ahead. And it's not for us alone. It's for others.
Amen.
People look at your lives. Are they hearing the loud worship in your life? Give thanks and bless his name. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Praise, to give praise is to give thanks. Thanksgiving, todah. Praise, confess, confession. They go together. Sacrifice. And we know that Jesus fulfilled the sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice in that way. But sometimes we give a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Verse 5, for Yahweh is good. His loving kindness endures forever and his faithfulness generation to generation.
Amen.
So that loving kindness we're talking about is chesed. You want to say it with me? Chesed. Very good. Very good. It's unchanging love of God. That was his motivation when he heard the cry of Israel that said, "We're in slavery, help us." What did he do? He sent Moses. And maybe one of us here, or some of us here, I know I did, when I was in darkness, I cried out to God and said, "Save me, help me." That's all I said. And he came. Because of his loving kindness. Because he is good. He gave me a hope and a future. And it's not just for now. It is eternal. Right? Eternally. We can be with him. Endures forever. What a God we serve. His love endures forever. It talks about the God who keeps covenant. We are people of the new covenant. That's signed in the blood of Jesus, right? Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic covenant. He fulfilled the covenants. He fulfilled the feasts. I forgot to mention that earlier. He is the fulfillment of those. We are under the new covenant. He is a covenant God. It's more than a contract. It's a relationship. But it's something that he is faithful to do and he will not break. Amen. No matter what. Amen. It is truly amazing. We sang that song. Amazing love. Francis Schaeffer, some of you might remember him. He said, "Chesed is part of God's essence. It's his character. That faithful love, that loving kindness. So I hope when you celebrate Thanksgiving with family and friends, when you have company over, I hope that you don't have to yell at them necessarily and shout, "Yeah, praise the Lord, woo!" Maybe you might, I don't know. Maybe that's the thing to do. Might scare them off, I don't know. But may your life shout loudly of who you worship. Amen. Right? In word and deed. In how you serve the turkey. Yeah. In how you are in the kitchen with your wife, maybe helping her. That your light would shine. What do you think, people of God? Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 7. No, that's not right. Chapter 19, sorry. Verse 7 to 10. This is what's coming. Do your feasting well. May it reflect the Lord. May it reflect thanksgiving. May it reflect a lifestyle of worship. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 7. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. And the fine linen are the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said, "Write, blessed are those who are invited. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell at his feet to worship him. A lot of worship going on for eternity, people. Let's love it. Let's enjoy it. Let's honor the Lord. And he said to me, do not do that. Oh no, I'm sorry. I made a mistake there. Then I fell at his feet. This is actually not the right thing here. Just hold on. That's not what I meant. Let's reel that back in. Okay, so then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow slave." So this was the angel. "With you and your brothers who have the witness of Jesus, worship God, for the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So it's worshiping him, not obviously an angel. So this is what we have to look forward to. The marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want to thank those who've been listening by radio. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Glorious God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We worship you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for Thanksgiving. We thank you that we can come into this place and be reminded, in your house, be reminded of a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise, and that it's loud. Loud, whether it's our lives or our words at times when appropriate. So, Lord, we just pray that you would cause us to be people who are thankful. Day in and day out. Oh God, we worship you and we praise you. We say there's none like you. We say thank you, Lord, for salvation, our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross on our behalf and you suffered and died. And through that we can have forgiveness and reconciliation. And you gave us that amazing, priceless gift of eternal life. So, oh God, would you touch your people today? Touch us in a special way by your Spirit. And we give you all glory, all honor, all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Raff, for that message this morning.
Thank you for tuning in. Come join us next Sunday at 10:30 at Grace Christian Fellowship. We'd love to see you.